remembering what the Lord has told us, I want to take just a few moments to invite you to join me at the 96th Psalm. And together, we're going to look together at what it means to walk in worship. Over these past few months, we've been talking about the fact that if Jesus is Lord, then I am to walk as He walks. And if I'm to walk as He walks, one of the things that means is I'm going to walk in worship. You know, people have different ideas about what worship means. Some people think of worship as, well, let's sing a few songs and then we'll have preaching. Unfortunately, most of those are people like me. Some people think, well, worship is something that you enjoy, but it really doesn't have any depth of meaning. But the Bible tells us that worship is an essential part of who we are as believers, who we are as followers of the Lord. Music is absolutely instinctive to the experience of worship. When you read the Psalms, you hear God's people singing. In the days before and the days of Jesus, when people were making their way to the temple to offer sacrifices to God, they always had to come up a long series of steps that led to the temple gate. I'm not talking about four or five stairs. I'm talking about dozens of stones rising from the valley of Jehoshaphat and rising up to the Temple Mount. It would be a long walk for anybody, but especially when God's people came to worship in the temple. You see, when these pilgrims would come from other places to worship, to bring their sacrifices to the temple, as they climbed these long, steep stairs, there were all kinds of people. There were young people and older people and really elderly people. There were small children and tiny children, and everybody was coming together to worship the Lord. Large families came together. Villages would come with one another. And as they made their way to the gate, there was one rule that everybody followed. And it was simply this: everybody goes together. The strongest ones didn't rush ahead. The ones who struggled a little more didn't lag behind. Everybody made their way together to the temple. And that meant it took a long time to climb those steps. Now, why is this so important? Because we know what they were doing during all of that time. They were singing songs of worship to the Lord. Psalms 120 through 134 especially are called the Psalms of Ascent. And that's why they're called that, because they were sung while God's people were singing, preparing themselves for the experience of worship that was coming when they got to the temple. By the time they made their sacrifices, they were ready to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, why is that so important? Because I believe singing serves that same purpose today. Music prepares the way in worship. It leads us to the moment when we come together around God's Word. And great worship reminds us of who we serve and what we believe and what God has promised to those who belong to Him. Worship challenges our minds and stirs our hearts and opens our tongues. It makes all the difference. Great worship makes all the difference. Trust me, because in my years of preaching, I've had different kinds of experience in ascending to this pulpit. There have been times when I've stood up to preach after really mediocre worship, when nobody was interested and nobody was involved and nobody was engaged. And I felt like I had to stand up and begin by saying, "Hey, up here." But I have also stood to preach so many times in this place when worship has been rich and God has been close and people have been touched and hearts have been stirred and we are ready for God to speak to us. Worship is such an important part of what we do. Is it any wonder we're all so blessed by the ministry of Joe Hopkins? Every Sunday, we're touched by Dr. Hopkins and his incredible leadership. We love the way he chooses the songs we sing together. We're in awe of the way he directs the choir and the orchestra to present that music in such a perfect and powerful way. And when he leads us through worship, we are brought into the presence of the Lord. It is so obvious to all of us that your leadership arises from your personal relationship with Christ. And most of all, I am so grateful that when he stands to lead us, his leadership comes from a strong biblical foundation and a personal reliance on the Holy Spirit to tell him just what to do. Psalm 96 tells us some things about what biblical worship is like, the kind of worship we enjoy from week to week. Let me share some things with you very quickly. The first thing the Bible says is this: biblical worship is always fresh worship. The Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. Listen to what I'm saying. Whenever you sing to the Lord, it needs to be a new song. I like the way that Dr. Hopkins leads us in new music that we've never heard before, makes it a part of the worship life of our church. Didn't you get chills a little while ago when we were singing, I need you? Oh, I need you. What a powerful song. What a new song that he taught us not very long ago. And all of us can think about things we have learned from him. New music that has touched our hearts and our souls. But we also love to sing songs that have been part of the worship life of the church for many years. And so we know we've sung great old Baptist songs. We've sung great Christian songs. We've sung songs from the tradition of the church. And they've touched us all. We love to hear Amazing Grace, the old rugged cross, those songs that have been part of who we are for a long, long time. That's why I want you to understand something that we learn from Dr. Hopkins every week. We learn that singing a new song has nothing to do with how current the tune may be or how many times you've sung that song before. A new song has everything to do with the attitude of your heart. What it means is every time you sing a song to the Lord, you sing it as though you've never sung it before. You sing it not by going through the rote, not by just saying the words because you've heard those words, you knew those words, they were singing those words when you were a baby and they're still singing those words today. You grab hold of what it says, what it means, and you sing it as though it were the very first time. It means you sing to the Lord with a heart wide open, and every time it is a new offering to the Lord. It means you take every opportunity to present yourself to him, heart and soul. Biblical singing is always about fresh worship. Another thing the Bible tells us is this: it says biblical worship is gospel centered. Worship music is gospel music. Understand what I'm saying. I don't necessarily mean Southern gospel music, although sometimes that's exactly what you pull out and that's exactly what we sing. It's not about a particular tempo or a particular style. Genuine worship is about the gospel. In verse 2, the psalm says, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Worship is always about the saving power of Christ. A moment ago, I mentioned Amazing Grace. What a powerful gospel song. It's a song that resonates in your heart. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And when you stop and you sing it in a fresh new way, as though you've never heard it again, you go back to your personal experience of what it's like to be lost apart from God. And saved. A wretch like me. How much richer does it become when we move on to those new words that Chris Tomlin added a few years ago that remind us it's not just about what Amazing Grace has done. It's about what Amazing Grace is doing right here, right now, in our own relationship with the Lord. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. To hear the gospel in song, to sing the gospel in song, is to be exposed to the power of his salvation. And I know that reality is never far from Dr. Hopkins' mind. It's something we talk about. It's something he talks about. And I love those times when, in the midst of worship, all of a sudden Joe just stops everything and he shares the gospel with us right from this pulpit, because the Holy Spirit's been moving in his life. Third thing the Bible says is this. It says, biblical worship glorifies God. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Authentic worship is always centered around one subject, the Lord. When we worship the Lord. Through our worship, we honor him, we submit to him, we lift up his holiness, we remember his name. It is all about the Lord. I have to be honest, one of my pet peeves about a lot of music, a lot of Christian music being written these days, is that they've changed the subject. And where once it was about the Lord, so much of what I hear these days, it's about me. It's almost as though we come to worship and we say, well, that's enough about you, Lord. Now let's talk about me. You bless me. You encourage me. You love me. You make me feel good. I'm glad, God, that you are there for me. Me, 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 me. Let me say something. Worship is never about me. It is always about him. It is about how we honor and glorify our King, our Savior, our Lord. I love what Kierkegaard said about genuine worship. He said it is always performed for an audience of one. Isn't that powerful? Another pet peeve is so many worship services I've been to, when as worship begins, all the lights go down over the congregation and all the lights come up on the stage and it becomes a performance for an audience. When God has called us to be the performers for that audience of one who deserves our praise. When we worship, we are there for him. So maybe, just maybe, instead of me, we need to remember songs like, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence, daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Then the Bible tells us that biblical worship gives an offering of praise. Listen to what he says. Beginning with verse 7, he says, give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Worship is what we give to our Savior. It is our offering of praise. When we worship, we give the Lord our hearts, our faith, and our lives. That's why it's so important to sing to the Lord. Every week, every Sunday, there's somebody in this room, just like there's been somebody in every other congregation I've ever sung before, who says, I just can't sing very well. Well, join the club. Over the years, I've been part of numbers of youth choirs growing up, and every youth choir I had the same experience, and that was that the minister of music would come to me and say, look, we're getting ready to go on youth choir tour. We need everybody we can get. We want you to join the youth choir. And I'd say, no, you don't. Yes, we do. We want you to join the youth choir. And I would join the youth choir, and about 2 weeks in, they came back to me with something else. They said, you know, we need somebody to run the sound system. So if you're here on Sundays and you're saying to yourself, I just can't sing, so I'll keep my mouth shut, understand something. Your worship is an offering to God. Don't steal that opportunity to honor Him from yourself. Remember this, when you sing to the Lord, it's never about the quality of your voice. It's about the depth of your surrender. There are times when I listen to and sing music of praise and I get lost in the power of who He is and what He has done. There's an incredible song on Michael W. Smith's newest album. It just blows me away. Listen to what he says. He says, "Where would I run but to the throne of mercy? Where would I kneel but at the cross of grace? How great the love, how strong the hand that holds us. Beautiful, so beautiful. There is a King who bore the scars of healing. There is a Son who came in grace and truth. How great the love that carries us in kindness. Wonderful, you're wonderful. So here I bow to lift you high. Jesus be glorified. In all things, for all my life, I am yours. Forever yours." I love to sing that song. In my car. By myself. Our worship is an offering of praise. And then finally... very quickly, remember this. Our worship is our testimony. In verse 10, the psalm declares, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Our worship is our testimony. It inspires us to take our faith out into the world around us and the world completely around us. Our worship is our testimony. My prayer is that no one would ever leave one of our services wondering how we feel about Jesus or whether we are surrendered to His Lordship. That the worship they experience will let them know we are a people of Jesus. No one should ever be embarrassed to speak out, to sing out, to share their love for Christ. That's why I love the way Joe ends all of our services. We exit with a song declaring our faith in Christ. Our worship is our testimony, and our testimony is that Jesus is Lord. Thank you for helping us remember that week by week. This is how important that message that Jesus is Lord happens to be to Joe Hopkins. This morning, not knowing anything about what was coming in this service, he said, "I've got a different kind of invitation for today, a different kind of invitation song." He said, "It's a song where if you're here and you're lost and you need to know Jesus, you can come and I'll help you know Jesus. If you need to become a part of a special church family, you come and I'll help you become a part of this church. If you have another decision to make, we want you to come." But our invitation song this morning is not going to be a quiet, reflective, slow sort of song. It's going to be a celebration. Our chance to make our worship our testimony. Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn.
We stand together before a holy and a mighty God this morning, and we have an opportunity to share our testimony. Nobody can praise God for you. Only you can praise God for you. So I challenge you to lift your voice now and to praise Him. As Psalm 104 says, "My soul, praise the Lord my God, for you are exceedingly great." Will you praise Him together as we sing hymn number 24?